Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Author and entrepreneur Rob Reed's new novel, Year Zero, is about music piracy, aliens, and the legacy of the digital era. If it reads like a cousin to the work of Douglas Adams, it also represents an insider's view of the dangers, perceived and real, of the modern music user's methods. Reed is the founder of Listen.com, which created Rhapsody. At one time, Rhapsody was the web's top music seller, a title now held by iTunes. Reed has previously written a memoir about his life as a Harvard MBA student called Year One, but if Year Zero is a sequel, it's a winking one. Year Zero is published by Del Rey. Rob Reed, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you kindly.
Why did you choose fiction this time?
You know, I'd always wanted to write a novel. It was something that interested me going way back to probably right after college, I guess, in my case. And my first book was, as you'd mentioned, it was a memoir of student life at Harvard Business School. And it was very novel-like because the other student characters that were in it were kind of composites of different people that I knew, so they were kind of fictionalized. So it was something that I had been intrigued by for many, many years, actually.
How did you find the process compared to your previous writing, which you've done a lot of, we should say, not just books, but a lot of blogs and other areas?
Yeah, radically different. Particularly radically different from my second book, which chronicled the rise of the internet as a commercial medium. And I wrote that kind of as it was happening in 1996. That was just so research intensive. And much of the other writing that I do is research intensive. I've written for Wired and the Wall Street Journal and usually business-oriented stuff. And that work tends to be lots of interviews, lots of digging around, a certain amount of quantitative analysis. I think every novel requires a certain amount of its own research as well, and this one was no exception. But the research component was probably about 5%, if that, of my nonfiction work. So just a much more free-ranging, not surprisingly, imagination-intensive and altogether liberating experience, I'd say.
Yeah, this is a book that has a lot of devices, a lot of new terminology, some mind-expanding characters, and I wondered if that freed you as a writer or if you felt that you were bound in some way to play by the rules of existing sci-fi literature.
You know, this book just sort of rattled out onto the page, so there was really never any time when I was writing it that I was trying to be consistent with any science fiction standards. Now, part of the reason is I didn't really sit down to write the book. The situation is my wife and I were traveling in Colombia, and I kind of started writing it in the evening to entertain us both. And I never really intended it to be a book. It was just sort of like this silly vacation project. And when we got home, we were both having fun with it. And next thing I knew, I was working 50 or 60 hours a week on it. And then the other thing was, I kind of figured I'd end up self-publishing this thing because I thought that the subject was just so weird. But to my delight and astonishment, when I finished it, I sent it to my agent who I had from my business books. She loved it. She sent it to Random House, and we had a deal to publish it within, I wouldn't say a matter of hours, but close to that, a day or two.
Well, I have to ask, you've been described as a serial entrepreneur, so was it a wise choice to avoid self-publishing all in all?
Well, that was actually part of, I thought I'd be very good at self-publishing because it would be like having the world's smallest startup with me as the CEO. And, I figured I'd be able to do all these block and tackle and viral things online to get my name out there. And not surprisingly, it turns out even if you have a very major publisher behind you, you need to do all that stuff anyway. So I didn't miss out on any of the entrepreneurial fun. I am still the CEO of the world's smallest startup. It just happens to also have a publisher. It's called Year Zero. So, yeah, I think the fact that I'm an entrepreneur actually kind of drew me to the self-publishing thing. But I am very pleased to have Random House behind this. I do think that 5 or 6 years from now, I think self-publishing is already an incredibly valuable and valid path right now. I think 4 or 5 years from now, I think it's going to be something that's going to be very, very common to see even the most established authors do. But as a first-time novelist and as an unknown for that reason, I think it's essential to have a publisher behind you. And also my experience with Random House has been absolutely delightful.
I think of the path the comedian Louis C.K. has been taking in a way that no one else really is so far, as far as releasing comedy specials directly on his site. I wanted to ask you, you've looked forward for us on the publishing side. Rhapsody came out, I think, at the end of 2001. Where did you see that field going 5 years from then? And were you right?
You know, I thought it was going to be a long, hard struggle back from the valley of piracy, and that was, in fact, the case. And so the biggest mistake that the music industry made in vis-a-vis the Internet was, for almost 5 years after the appearance of the first mass-market MP3 player, they quite literally refused to sell their music in any way, shape, or form online. And the result was that was piracy was there to fill the vacuum. And I think that is absolutely more to blame than anything else, vis-a-vis the tremendous wave of piracy that overcame the music industry. By the time Rhapsody finally launched, it took us about 3 years going to the labels on bended knee, asking them to please kindly let us sell their music. By the time they finally acquiesced and we started selling it, and your timing is right, it was late 2001 that we launched the service, but it was actually the summer of 2002 before we had all the major label licenses. People were so habituated to piracy, particularly for anything digital, that it was an enormous uphill climb. And, you know, I probably, you know, I don't remember precisely what I would have predicted then, but I probably would have guessed that, you know, 5 years hence, Rhapsody would be verging on 1 million subscribers, which in fact it was at that point, and the industry would still be sub 10% digital. And by 2006, it had crossed that line. So it might actually have grown a little bit quicker than I thought. We're now at a point where music is about 50-50 digital, and all-you-can-eat streaming services, which is what Rhapsody is, and also Spotify, which is taking off very quickly, are finally really coming of their own. And that's probably one thing that I would have expected to happen quite a bit faster, because in my mind as a music lover, absolutely nothing beats an unlimited streaming service. You have all the music in the world, literally, at your fingertips. Quite literally, as opposed to buying things one at a time for a dollar here and a dollar there, kind of like an a la carte basis. And so I thought that all-you-could-eat streaming would have taken less time to catch on, but it is starting to gain a great deal of momentum, and I do think it's going to be the dominant way that people consume music 5 years from now.
Huh. Let's talk about the book a little. Why was 1977 the title Year Zero?
Well, 1977 just happens to be the year in the book in which the aliens discover the human race.
Right, there's this Cotter moment.
Yes, exactly, by picking up a Welcome Back Cotter episode. And the aliens are so completely gaga about music in general for reasons that are baked deep into the plot. And for reasons that are also baked, actually not super deep in the plot, I think I get them out of the way in the second paragraph, we humans happen to make the greatest music in the universe by an overwhelming degree. So 1977 is when they happened to pick up their first human song. It was the Welcome Back Cotter theme, and at the moment, they thought it was the greatest creative achievement since the Big Bang. And the universe's romance with humanity's music began at that moment. And, you know, much as all societies begin renumbering their calendars from unbelievably important moments, the rest of the universe, unbeknownst to us humans, started counting time from the moment that they discovered this Welcome Back Cotter episode.
You know, I was reading that and thinking that our friend here at WAMC and a resident of Listening Area, John Sebastian, would be happy to know that that was the starting off point.
Yes, well, hopefully Year Zero will make enough noise that it rises to his attention that this wonderful song that he wrote became the you know, sort of like the seminal anthem of the entire universe in my book.
Well, Rob Reed, he's the author of Year Zero and several other writings. This book is published by Del Rey. It's his first novel. And I really appreciate the time you spent with us on the roundtable today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
You're listening to The Roundtable. on WAMC.